Matt and Molly take over of Wildy and Tausch. He's Matt Hamilton. I am Jim Rutledge. You can see us on the ESPN Madison, ESPN Milwaukee YouTube page. Matt Hamilton in the Outback. I'm in the Everlight Solar Studio, rocking my Home Alone sweatshirt. I will, in honor, I think I said this at the top of every hour, I will turn on the lights for a little bit. So I got flashing lights on my Home Alone sweatshirt in the festive season today. I don't know if we call it festive or not, Matt Hamilton. We got a couple questions out to people. One, what did you do on your honeymoon that you won't do again? Again, radio friendly. Matt Hamilton rode horses around the ocean. I went to a nude beach. And we'll take calls on weird things you did on your honeymoon. Also, what did you do on a childless Christmas? And I wanted to kind of spin it. It's been spinning more to two other points, Matt Hamilton. One, and Zach in Milwaukee chimes in, what do you suggest to Matt and Jesse as far as whenever they become parents, what will they do? How do they handle the holidays? We're taking suggestions on that. And then I have a take that I guess it's my Festivus take. We need to stop killing off relatives every holiday season with this, like, hey, you better come because this is the power struggle. It really comes between, like, you have said grandkids. Grandparents want you to come see them. Grandparents never say this, but it's usually your parents saying this about their parents. Hey, 61-year-old grandpa might die whenever, so you got to see him on Christmas. Yet grandpa never can make the ride over to your house. It always has to be to their house because that is the power play. That's the power struggle. It's like life and death. It's full circle. You got youth, you got babies.
Jim, if you can't make it to next Christmas.
You got the tease of death on the other side.
If he can't make it to next Christmas, how is he going to make it all the way to your place?
Pick him up. 844-770-3776. We got a couple more calls coming in here. Before we get to those, Zach in Milwaukee, we are expecting our first in June. And my mom moved back to Wisco earlier this year. So it was a big adjustment with having to do both sides for the first time. And it was hard for him and his wife's relationship, and it was exhausting for a few days. We're planning on having a new house that'll be hostable, and we'll be telling both sides, here's where we are, feel free to come over. It's going to go undeniably terrible, but that's the plan. Fight the good fight, Zach, because honestly, everyone in this circle of life we're talking about, whether grandparents or your parents, had small children. They remember how annoyed they got when their parents tried to kill off their grandparents. And then they also remember what a pain in the butt it is to try to drag young children all over the place who want no part of seeing you and wear the clothes that you're wearing. They want to play with their toys and enjoy their day. Instead, they're getting dragged all over the place. You should be coming. It should just be a boomer sort of thing. Hey, we're going to go to you. But boomers got to make everything about them. All right, Mike in Kenosha, 844-770-3776.
Matt wants nothing to do with this.
Yeah, I think the grandparents have something that nobody else has in any given family. That's seniority.
Okay, but then why wouldn't you be benevolent and say, we'll come to you because we remember how horrible this was?
Well, you got to schedule it. My family was convoluted like that for years. My parents had four kids. When we were little, we stayed in the nucleus family. And we would go to grandma's house, but that was a four-hour drive away, so we would end up spending like a week there. Sometimes Christmas was included, sometimes it wasn't, depending on what day of the week Christmas fell on.
And it's, go on.
And my grandparents, they had six kids, so I had lots of cousins. It was impossible to see everybody in a week. Like at Christmas time. But the thing was, we did get together, we did try to say hi, and we used to send Christmas cards to each other.
And it sounds like, though, you're accommodating. That's a Christmas week. That is trying to make time around scheduling and all that. And thanks for the call. I'm talking more of the militant, you got to see on Christmas Day, got to see on Christmas Eve. That's the part that's unfair. Because I am very pro, hey, make it work with everyone's family, make it work on the time, but let's not get caught up on the actual day. Let's get caught up in the idea of we want to spend time. And that, to me, if people are making time to go see grandma, grandpa, and they see them the 23rd, why are we getting guilted for the 25th? And let's get out 844-770-3776. We have Ron in Rome as well.
Hi, I think everybody should do what's best for their own family. But I think it's funny. I gave that text about alternating and that. But when you said, why do they play the grandma might be dead next year? I think that's funny coming from a bunch of sports guys who say you can't bunt because there's a 1% less chance that you'll score a run. And you guys are using sabermetrics and analytics. It's a pretty good damn chance that I'm going to be dead next year because I'm 68 and my kids are all in their late 30s and 40s. But
go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I'll say, but do you like being like used as a ploy like that? Because it's usually never the person who's 68. It's someone else doing that on your behalf. Like, I've never had a grandparent being like, I might be dead next year.
My wife and I don't use that, but we do use it on, like, my mother-in-law, who's 92. There's a pretty good chance she's not going to be around next year.
Analytics,
and again, well, to the analytics side of it, now, the big part of it is, because my stickler point is, it's the actual holiday. Like, if we, you know, again, I'll use examples of, you go see family, let's say, the 23rd. They still get family time. You still get that Christmas time. It's just the actual day gets really hard with young kids because they want to play with all the toys from Santa. They don't want to be dragged around the state. They're little kids. They don't want to travel that much. So that's kind of my main take on it.
Well, you know, I'm Jewish, so
well, there you go.
We have our lunar calendar. Yeah. Our holidays are all over the place.
Right.
It's unusual that we happen to fall Hanukkah on Christmas this year.
Yeah.
So we time shift holidays all the time. I mean, we just are like, well, this holiday's then, but nobody can make it. Let's celebrate it next week.
So Ron, you're the cool one. That's the cool way to do it. Of we're just trying to be within a vicinity of the holiday to have family time together, and I think that's the ideal.
Well, the best way to get your kids to visit you on holidays is to work your ass off and buy a house on a lake. But that's getting harder and harder to do. But we did it 25 years ago.
There you go. Thanks for the call, Ron. And look, Matt, that's what Matt's dad did. I don't know if it's on a lake, but you have a cabin up north, and you know that's. Like, that's the destination now.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to say, I think my uncle did it best. Like, he lived in Minneapolis away from family, but his wife's family was kind of near there. He just said, he laid down the law. He's like, I am going to alternate every year. I'm going to do Thanksgiving with one family and Christmas with the other. And then the next year, I'm flipping it. And nobody questioned it because he just laid down the law. Like, this is how it's going to be. We are going to see family on these days. But it's not going to be everybody because it's hours and hours of driving in between. So he just, you know, yeah, every other year you'd get Thanksgiving or Christmas with my uncles and my cousins. And I was like, that's just the way it is.
And that's the way to do it. And I guess that's my point.
So that's the key, is lay down the law immediately.
But, like, I guess because,
He waited until he had kids to lay down the law, too.
Right. I think it's on, and I will push my wife on this when we have grandkids. We can't be those folks. If the kids want to see us, if we do, I think for a little bit we did New Year's with my parents. So, like, if we want, we'll do that as our holiday. It's like, that would be we'll share gifts, and we'll do New Year's Eve with the family. We'll have some champagne, and we'll share gifts, and we'll do all that together. So, like, that's one option, too. You could have the holiday. It's the stickler on the date and the guilt if the date doesn't work on the actual Christmas, even Christmas Day, that I find insane, especially with then the threat of killing off grandparents. Because if you're making time, whether it's the weekend before, a couple days before, whatever fits your schedule, to have that time with family, that's what is supposed to matter. Not the actual day. Like, that's selfish. That's doing it for you. Of like, I want this. I want to see the grandkids, open presents, and they have to do it on Christmas Day because I'm the most important person in the world. Not them, because they don't want to be there. It's me. I'm the most important person in the world. Like, that to me is what ends up happening. As opposed to, hey, as long as we're making time and we have it planned out and we're going to see each other around the holiday and we're going to all get together and have that holiday joy together, we're good. Like, that's the normal good way to handle it. Before we go to break, we got what Matt missed coming up in a second here, but 608 chimes in. Hey guys, fun show today. We are the grandparents currently driving 11 hours, Traverse City, Minneapolis, to see grandkids. You're correct. Our kids with their kids call the shots, and we're okay with that. Let's give them a round of applause, because that is what we're looking for.
Those kids are going to want to go to Traverse City eventually. Like, that is an amazing place in Michigan. Like, amazing, amazing. So, like, they'll figure it out. Maybe it might not be winter time, but, like, they're going to get plenty of grandkids' time in Traverse City because that town is incredible.
And they're going to have the memory of being able to wake up. They do the Christmas. Grandparents are there. And then you just get to be around. And the grandparents get to see what Santa brought and have the play with it all. And everyone's so happy. That is what we want. We're going to fix Christmas. 844-770-3776. We're going to play What Matt Missed next.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Yeah, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why.
Santa this Claus might be my favorite Christmas song. It's up there. This specific version for Springsteen. Santa Claus coming to town. Matt Hamilton, I am Jim Rutledge. This is the Jim, Matt, and Molly takeover of Wildy and Tausch. You can see us on ESPN, Madison, ESPN, Milwaukee YouTube page. You can get into the show, 844-770-3776. We're talking about a few different things, including stop killing off grandparents. We don't need the guilt to go see people around the holidays. Stop being sticklers on a specific day of Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. It's the holiday season. Try to make life easier for those, especially those with ones with little kids who really want to spend most of their time opening up all their presents from Santa. The older you get, Matt, you said your Christmas now is very similar to what it's been, where you open up presents from Santa and then you head out. But you're an adult and you can deal with it. The kids, let's let them have their time to play with their new toys. Jesse Nelson behind the glass in Everlight Solar Studio. He is fighting through some sort of sickness, and thankfully, on many levels, he stayed behind the glass. So he's here basically in name only, Matt. So you didn't have to avoid this. I know you said you didn't want to come in today because Jesse was going to be producing, but it was a waste. You could have been here with me.
It's pretty rude.
Matt's apparently microphone.
He's muted. Yeah, he'll figure it out.
Anyways, all right. Well, hopefully Matt unmutes because we're going to play.
Hey, there we got it.
I bet you said something really good.
I bet that was his best zinger of the day. Too bad we'll never hear it.
Yeah, it was. That's right. Don't. It was just for me.
Yeah, there you go. All right, let's let's play What Matt Missed.
Context is important.
Oh, man.
Except when you're an Olympic gold medalist.
Honestly, I have no idea who it is. Here we go, yo. Obviously, he's talking about, maybe.
It's time for What Matt Missed on Jim, Matt, and Molly. Presented by Lining Kugels. Flavor the moment.
Yeah, guys. So Matt Hamilton, as we've documented in the 9 o'clock hour of the show this morning, not particularly up to speed on the happenings of the sports world. Is that a fair representation of you, Matt?
Nah, lately. Lately?
Lately?
Just the last 2 years.
You've been doing the show, what, 2.5 years, 3 years?
We dabble. But we do focus on the Packers more than a lot of the other things.
So I have collected 3 sound clips, and I'd like for you to identify who is speaking. And then if you have an opinion on what they're talking about, I'd love to hear it. You know, it'd be great if you could elaborate a little bit on some compelling content. So here, Matt Hamilton, is clip number 1.
Obviously, you have to tip your cap to the Lions just persevering through all these injuries. They don't want to hear about it, but they are a very banged up team. And then you've got Minnesota and you've got Green Bay. I think any one of those three, you could realistically say, and add Philly, obviously, but in this division alone, any one of those three could represent the NFC in the Super Bowl, and you wouldn't be surprised at all.
NFC playoff picture, crowd in the background. Matt, this should be a layup. Who is that?
It sounded like just one of the normal announcers from every week football. Was that like...
Matt.
Yeah. I know. I feel like I should get this one. So... It probably wasn't, but I'm just going to say Joe Buck.
It's a Christmas Ooh. Miracle.
Also, don't preface it. If you're going to be wrong, just be wrong. Because if you luck in the right, you're right. You know, if you said totally it's fine. Joe Buck.
No. I feel like he hates the Packers, so I tune him out.
Oh, my God.
You're one of those?
Yeah. Joe Buck and Troy Aikman hate the Packers.
He just complimented how good the Packers looked and they're legit contenders along with those other teams in the NFC.
It's called a quota. Otherwise, you're obviously biased. Matt, he's got a number he's trying to hit.
You're a Reddit guy. I guarantee if you go to any team's Reddit, they're going to be complaining about Joe Buck.
Yeah, that might be the case, but I'm not going to go to another team's Reddit because I'm a Packer fan.
Every fan base used to their local play-by-play guys throwing flowers at their feet throughout, no matter what is going on. So that when you hear someone being impartial, you're like, they hate us. And I guarantee every fan base thinks that.
That might be true, but this is true. My reality, Jim. Let me live my
You only live in your reality.
Cowboy Matt's reality. All right.
Giddy up, Jesse.
Clip number two. If you struggled with Joe Buck, I don't know how you're going to get this one. So let's see if you can identify what athlete is saying this after a bad loss.
Just embarrassing. Embarrassing loss. You know, I put it on myself. Played not good at all, in my opinion. You know, just didn't have any answers. Got to go make more plays, protect the ball, and just got to be better.
Pretty downtrodden.
Right.
Any guess who that was, Matt?
Sounded like a quarterback.
It is a quarterback.
I don't think.
What if I told you he was in the same building as Joe Buck on Monday night?
I was going to guess maybe Spencer Rattler.
Yeah!
Good Lord, if you didn't get that, I don't know who else would be talking.
Here's the thing. I was leaning Spencer before the giveaway clue from Jesse, but you know, I had Bo Nix.
Yes.
Bo Nix was in my ear, too, so it was close.
Bo Nix?
Why Bo Nix was in your ear?
I have no idea. This just popped into my head.
Basically, you know the voice of, like, three quarterbacks. Brett Favre, mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love, and the rest is all guess. All guess.
For the most part.
Okay.
It's close.
All right.
One last one, timely, based on the last 24 hours. You've heard this voice before, I'm sure. Let's see if you can identify who said this.
It's been a tough road, obviously, the past 3 weeks. We haven't been able to overcome some of the challenges along the way. We got to make that a good thing for us. You know, at the end of the day, when you look back at it all, and hope, you know, when we get the chance to play in the playoffs, it becomes 0-0. That's the truth of the playoffs and the opportunity that we have. You know, and so I think that before we get there, though, is that our belief can't waver. Matter of fact, we got to turn it up even more on our belief, you know, and I think that's a key part to how we respond in the midst of adversity.
Who is it, Matt?
And that came within the last 24 hours.
It did.
The Blake stare from Matt Hamilton.
You were you were watching football on Netflix yesterday.
You said you've heard it plenty of times.
Right. No, I mean, was that Matt LaFleur? That wasn't Matt LaFleur.
Why would he be on Netflix yesterday?
I don't know. Not on Netflix yesterday, but there's constantly stuff going on.
What the heck? You thought that was Matt LaFleur?
No, but I felt like when Jim's like, you've heard this guy multiple times, he's guiding me down the wrong path.
It's a former Badger.
Spoken a lot of cliches.
Is a quarterback for a team that played yesterday?
Russell?
Yes.
Yeah!
I thought that was a coach for sure.
He sounds like a coach.
He does.
It's been a tough road, obviously, the past 3 weeks. We haven't been able to overcome some of the challenges.
Now that you say Russell, it sounds more like Russell than I thought. I didn't think it sounded like Matt before. I just thought like maybe he had a cold like Jesse.
You know, I
might have got it from Jason.
I could get it's like loose LaFleur sort of, but the clues that were given.
No, exactly.
It's the holiday season, Matt. I was trying to set you up for success here in your big, you know, multi-market opportunity to play this game.
I'm going to be honest. 2 out of 3 is pretty good.
It's really,
No, no.
It's like you got a 90 on a test, but you were
just because I hemmed and hawed doesn't mean, and you gave me a clue doesn't mean that I didn't get it. I still got
the
first two.
You were taking a test with the answers next to you, and it still took you a very long time to get the answer.
You got a 66% with an open note test.
Yeah, but we're probably grading on a curve, so I feel like
if we're grading on a curve, you're doing much worse because everyone else is acing that test.
No. That's pretty tough. That was tough, dude. That was hard.
I love the last little bit where you misunderstand the curve. It's basically Matt's just like a Hamilton curve. It just you swoop down and pick me up and lift me up. Like that
curves in my favor. Right. I just assume if I'm not good at it, nobody's going to be good at it.
That applies for curling and curling only. That's just, I would say that's how I would look at it, Matt.
Yeah,
with all due respect.
That's fair.
He's Matt Hamilton. I am Jim Rutledge. That was what Matt missed. We have, I feel like our callers are going to do better at trivia than Matt Hamilton. We got that coming up.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, we got that next segment, right?
Sure, let's do it next.
All right, I'm just trying to get
Matt
back,
love we gotta
trying
give
to get
him
us back
here.
On the sheet here, because Matt is a big fan of sheets of ice. This is Jim. Matt and Holly.
Well, hey, let's ask for our caller.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
You don't know how this works. That's okay. That's all right. Yeah. So we'll take caller number 10 right now at 844-770-3776. Caller number 10 and the category today, which we're going to talk about, I think, after trivia.
Okay.
Fool's Gold of Wisconsin Sports. Fool's Gold of Wisconsin Sports. One of our teammates at ESPN Wisconsin was getting pounded on social media after being retweeted by Sam Decker the other day, calling one of the classic Wisconsin sports teams Fool's Gold.
Interesting. So, I have Sam Decker muted, so I wouldn't have seen it.
So we'll talk about that coming up after we play trivia. But yeah, let's play trivia next. Caller 10, 844-770-3776. Fool's Gold of Wisconsin Sports.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Out of all the reindeers, you know you're the mastermind.
Songs make me think of movies. This one makes me think of, I believe, Home Alone is what's popping in my head. And I love that about music, especially the holiday season. They definitely tie to specific songs. We're going to get to trivia in a second. Matt Hamilton, Jim Rutledge with you. We are live from the Everlight Solar Studio. Well, I am. You can see Matt Hamilton on the ESPN Wisconsin YouTube page, ESPN Madison, ESPN Milwaukee YouTube. Matt's got his Indiana Jones hat on because he thinks it's Halloween. We got Jesse Nelson with me at the Everlight Solar Studio. He is playing through being sick at ESPN Milwaukee, at ESPN Madison, at Ham's Curl. On Twitter, you can follow me on Threads, which is JRESPN Wisconsin, or on Blue Sky at Jim Rutledge. I'm also on the other side as well. But let's get to Wildy and Tausch trivia.
Jim, you hate trivia, right? I just want to state that for the record once
just,
and for all.
A quick cliff notes to it. It's nothing against anyone specific. It's just I work. It's defunct now. Damon Sports Bar. People would come in, play the blue trivia game on the box, and leave horrible tips. And they were just like the most annoying people ever. They'd be there like... Just a pro tip. If you're somewhere for like 4 hours, you need to tip on 4 hours of not flipping the table. Otherwise, you're just a jerk. And I never got tipped on not flipping the table for 4 hours. You sit there, leave me 20%, but I got 10 bucks. Thanks, pal.
And with that, we welcome in a first-time contestant to Wildy and Tausch Trivia. It is Tracy in West Bend, who's very excited to play and is going to tip us well at the end. Tracy, good morning and happy holidays. How you doing?
Good morning, you guys. Happy holidays, too.
Matt loves trivia, so Matt, you get to ask all of the questions today. I hope you would know at least one of the answers to the questions that you're asking if you would be answering them yourself. Doubtful, though.
No, I think I would get... At least two of these. I probably wouldn't get question three, so good luck on question three.
All right. Matt, go ahead. Take it away with Tracy in West Bend.
All right, Tracy. Good luck. Question one. Which San Francisco 49ers kicker, formerly of the Chicago Bears, kicked the game-winning field goal to eliminate the number one seed Packers in the divisional round in 2021-2022 NFL playoffs? Was it A? Robbie Gould.
Good as gold.
Let's pass it along. Let's move it along. Yeah. No, very good.
Didn't even need the options. Impressive showing.
Which is too bad because George Blando was an excellent option.
Do you know who Eddie Pinheiro is, Matt Hamilton?
Also a kicker.
Great.
Yes. Right? What infamous play was Eddie Pinheiro part of during his Chicago Bears kicking tenure?
Oh, is he the double doink? I thought that was...
He's not the double doink.
Oh, he wasn't?
Yeah. No.
Oh, I thought he... Who was? Was that Santos?
No, it's Cody or something like that.
Oh, Cody Parkey.
Yes, that's what it is. Cody Parkey. I blocked it out, but I know it was not Eddie Pinheiro.
All right.
My bad.
All right. Question two.
Matt's smarter than me now.
Question two for Tracy. Which opponent eliminated the number one seed Milwaukee Bucks from the NBA playoffs during the COVID restart in the Orlando bubble in 2020? Was it A, the Boston Celtics, B, the Miami Heat, or C, the Toronto Raptors?
Think the Miami Heat.
Nailed it. And those are the two I would have got too. So here's the big question. Question three. All right, here we go. The 2006-2007 Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team earned the program's first AP number one ranking in school history. But as the number two seed in the NCAA tournament, lost in the second round to which opponent? Is it A, the UNLV Running Rebels? Was it B, Davidson? Don't know what the mascot was. Or C, Cornell?
Oh, I'll say Cornell.
All three of these teams bounced Wisconsin at some point. But it wasn't Cornell that year.
You want to, it's 50-50 shot now, UNLV or Davidson. You want to take a crack at it?
Nope, I guess he doesn't.
UNLV.
Yeah, it was UNLV. There it was UNLV. Brian Butch got hurt down the stretch of that season, and it totally changed the landscape of that Wisconsin men's basketball team that year. So, two out of three means you have three of the possible four entries. Tracy, we will draw our winner for an ESPN Wisconsin prize pack tomorrow night. Thanks so much for tuning in the day after Christmas, and hope you have a great rest of your holiday week.
Well done.
Thank you.
And now back to you, Jim Rutledge.
So I was that one I did not know because 06-07, I was in Florida. And believe it or not, Badger basketball, not huge down there. And
what?
That team, I literally don't have any recollection of anyone on the team. I mean, I know who Brian Butch is, so obviously. I just don't remember specifically that team. But the UNLV team they lost to was Lon Cougar. I remember that name, his former Illinois coach. But Joel Anthony was on the UNLV team.
Oh, really?
He's on the roster here.
Ah.
06-07 UNLV Running Rebels.
Interesting.
They were 30-7 that year.
What do you think of Joel Anthony's career, Matt?
Oh, underperformed. Could have been better.
And so the part that I had, actually, you couldn't be more wrong.
Okay, thank you. That's what I was waiting for.
Just flipping. Like, what a great success story for him. I was in Florida. I worked for ESPN West Palm. We were the home of the Florida Gators. And that was their first of two NCAA championships. They had his first name was Mick or something like that. They had an amazing play-by-play guy who did play-by-play for the football team, which was also winning that time, and the basketball team. But that basketball team, Billy Donovan, the coach, Joakim Noah, Al Horford, Corey Brewer.
Al Horford's still going.
Yeah, and then there was one other good player on that team. So, like, that was honestly, and I was around it, might have been the, because they won back-to-back titles.
They were so good.
The best college basketball team I may have seen. The old school UNLV Running Rebels with Larry Johnson and Stacey Augman and Greg Anthony were pretty good too, but this team was, I mean, that team was loaded. They were all good college basketball players, and obviously Horford had a heck of a career. Bronny Brewer was solid. Joakim Noah was had a good run. He just got hurt. So, I mean, that was a heck of a team there. But, Matt, how would you have done on that, honestly, out of those three?
I would have got the first two.
I don't believe you. I think I would have got Robbie Gould.
I definitely would have got Robbie Gould, and the second one was... Oh, yeah, I definitely would have gotten the Heat because they ended up losing to LeBron in the final, I believe.
What? Yes. The Lakers, yes, the Lakers lost to the Heat in the final of that, yes.
Right, so I'm pretty sure I would have got that one.
It's always amazing the things you do know and the things you don't know. It's fascinating to me.
Honestly, my wife was talking to me about that the other day. We were listening to just music, and I was able to pull the song, pull the name, and then there was a pretty popular one that came on that I just had no clue. And she's like, I have no idea how your brain works.
He just wanted to flex that Matt loves to be the guy who doesn't,
Like, he goes out of his way not to know popular things so he can be the guy that only knows obscure things. But the thing is, most people who know obscure things also know the popular things and choose not to like it. It's Matt's identity. He just says, I don't like it on the point that it's popular. Like, look, man, if you're making money, you're selling out.
I don't think that's entirely true, but I don't think the premise, like the groundwork you laid, is not entirely wrong.
Matt, I love you. You have like, you're like 75% hipster, which you just got a lot of hipster tendencies, and that's one of them. Would be like, I'm just going to assume if it's popular, it's not good. For music, for other things, you might be all in on it. Shoes, you're in, but. Music?
Popular music, I like. It was more of the classics that we were listening to in the car, too, by the way. It was like top 100 songs of all time, kind of.
And you playlist. Didn't know those?
No, that's the thing, is I knew most of them, but when they had a newer one, I was like, I don't know who this is. Didn't matter. Doesn't matter, Jim.
It does. It really matters to you. You just wanted to bring up that obscure,
you
like,
brought
pat
it
on
up.
The back.
Knowledge.
Yeah. No, like this obscure
Jesse
pat
brought
on the
it
back.
Up.
Or like, my wife said, like, I'm a super big music guy. Like,
I'm pretty smart, except
my
I'm
wife
not.
Said she has no idea how my brain works either. I was just corroborating Jesse's thesis that you know random things and things that we think you should know. You are absolutely helpless.
Like,
and
job.
That's accurate.
I want to get to the Packers-Vikings game, but I also, do you guys think, and we'll answer this on the other side, I feel like the Bears and the Packers are going to play on Saturday.
I do, too.
I think that's going to be flexed.
I've been
and I kind of want to know what everyone feels about that. We can talk about that on the other side, 844-770-3776. I'm Jim Rutledge. He's Matt Hamilton. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly Takeover of Wilding Tausch.
This is Wilding and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Again, with my Home Alone shirt on, this also took place in Home Alone, where Kevin sets up all of the characters. Why he had all those characters and life-size figurines and mannequins in the house is beyond me. We'll just suspend disbelief for many reasons on Home Alone. It might be the number one movie, Home Alone 1 and 2, where you just have to suspend all understandings of the real world. Jesse Nelson with me in the Everlight Solar Studio. I am Jim Rutledge. Matt Hamilton out in the Outback wearing his Indiana Jones hat and his whereabouts somewhere up north. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly Takeover of Wilding and Tausch. You can get into the show 844-770-3776. We've been talking Christmas and Matt's horrible takes of that he doesn't like live concerts and he thinks a pick six is better than a safety. Yeah.
Speaking of horrible takes, I'm curious which Home Alone you think is better, 1 or 2?
I don't think either one would be a horrible take, but I actually enjoy Home Alone 2 better.
Interesting.
Because
I think it's the right answer.
It's Home Alone 1 because it's all the same jokes and like all the same timing, everything the same. It's just done with a little bit more. They just know what they're doing a little bit more. So everyone's just a little bit more cooked in the role. Macaulay Culkin's a little bit older. He understands the role a little bit more. Pesci, Stern, they brought everyone back. The hotel setup was fun. They had Professor McGonagall from Harry Potter's in it. You have Tim Curry in it. You have all these great actors in it.
Donald Trump cameo.
Yes. Forced himself into it. He would not let them use the hotel unless he was in it because he is obsessed. Obsessed with popularity.
But if I owned a hotel and someone wanted to shoot a movie in it, I would also be like, can I do?
I'm glad you have that in common. To have, because most people don't. But good. If you want to associate yourself and be like, that's fantastic.
You wouldn't want to be in a movie if they wanted to film in your house, Jim?
Only if they wanted me in it. I wouldn't force myself into it. But that's not neither here nor there. I would say this. The Bears-Packers game is, I think, a strong likelihood to be flexed from Sunday to Saturday, and I'll be honest, you could just flex it off the schedule for all I care. You could just simulate the rest of the season. I just wanted to get over, as a Bears fan, if you are tuning in to the show, you're unaware. As a Bears fan, I literally just want Caleb to get out healthy. He's the only bright spot. Now, the Bears have one of the things you need to win. They need a coach, and they need an offensive line, and they probably need a more cohesive, maybe new owner, but at least they got a quarterback. They've used to have none of those things. And now they got one of those things. And so I just want him to get through the end of the season healthy. That's literally the only thing I care about. Like, if the Bears decided last game of the season and Caleb wouldn't be okay with it, hey, we're just going to play Tyson Bagent. We don't want to injure our our franchise on the last game of the season, it carries no weight for us. In fact, if we win, it's actually worse for us because we get a worse draft pick. Like for me, I'd be fine with it. So moving the game to Saturday, I want to ask you, the Packers fans, 844-770-3776, what do you think of the idea of Packers and Bears getting flexed to a Saturday? Especially, that's a home game, so people are trying to, you know, people might want to go and see the Bears-Packers play the last game of the year and plan for a Sunday, and then it gets moved to a Saturday. It's not official. It just feels like if it wasn't the Bears-Packers rivalry, it would 100% be flexed, because especially if the Packers lose to the Vikings, which we'll talk about next segment, this game means nothing to anyone.
I do like the idea of a flex to Saturday, though, especially with the Packers clinching a playoff berth. It's an extra day. It's an extra day of recovery. So regardless of like my feelings of like, oh, it's rivalry day, it's got to be played on Sunday, last game of the year, like, kind of, I think I'm throwing all of the tradition and feel out the window for the analytical and wisest move, what's best for the football team kind of play. And it's like, that's playing on Saturday and getting an extra day potentially before your playoff game.
Right. I but you're not going to the game. Like that to me is the reason why it's an issue. Is that tickets, you might plan for it. Packer fans, I throw a lot of shade and I have a lot of fun at the cheeseheads and the pieces of paper that cost hundreds of dollars. But you guys do, going to Lambeau is a big deal, and planning that trip out to go to Lambeau whenever that is. It is, at times, for a lot of Packer fans, it's a once-a-year thing at best, and you might be trying to, whatever the reasons. Now, Saturday, Sunday shouldn't matter for some, but it could. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of people have to work on a Saturday, and they always keep Sundays off to go to the game. So, for me, it's more of the what it would do to the fan side of things more than for the team. Because one day, I get what you're saying, but playing at 3 o'clock on Saturday or noon on Sunday is not a dramatic difference. And realistically, if everything very well could be if they play on Saturday, everything's wrapped up for them anyway. So I don't know who is playing for the Packers in that game. But to me, it's just more the idea of Packer fans are really going to get the short end of the stick moving a game on a Sunday Lambeau, last one of the year, to a Saturday.
Right. No, for sure. I totally agree with you. But I was going at it more the analytical side.
Yeah.
Purely as a fan who's not going to the game, it makes sense for Saturday.
Those 8 hours make a big difference. All right, Chad Madison.
They do.
What are your thoughts on this, Chad?
What's going on, guys?
Hey, Chad.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Yep, we got you. You hear me?
Perfect. Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think it's a good idea, actually, because, you know, you don't got much college football, so it's good to have that. And you're gonna pull two markets. You're going to pull the Bears market, you're going to pull the Packers market. But as a fan from that base and that standpoint, it's a big deal driving from Madison or Milwaukee to go up to Green Bay. And Green Bay is not a big area, so most of the people that are coming there are from out of town. They're not sitting there, you know. So you have to make a big deal out of it. And I'll tell you this, on a Sunday game, when you're going to a Sunday game, you have to make it a big deal, because most of the time they're at night.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got a 3:30 game, great. But you have to plan all of that. And it's a tough drive on the way back. So I'll say this. At least you have the Sunday off. You don't have to take Monday off work. So I'll just say that and leave it there if you guys need.
That's a good point, Chad. Thanks for the call, 844-770-3776. What are your thoughts on the Packers-Bears game possibly being moved to Saturday? To me, it makes sense. The only reason it won't be is because of the rivalry. I just worry about the Packer fans. Again, I like to have some fun out of it. Packer fans are diehard fans, and it is at times, like, we just had Christmas. People could be getting that game for Christmas that Sunday, and I just don't – there are a decent amount of people, because we go places on Saturday – in our lives, and people have to work on a Saturday, it gets moved from a Sunday to a Saturday. That could jam it up for them. And Chad brought a point. He didn't reference it, but it made me think about hotels and you staying over and what are you planning for. So if it's a Saturday game, do you check in? If I don't know what time they'd play on Saturday, but do you check in early to a hotel? I mean, there are positives to it, but there are plenty of people that this could really jam up their opportunity to see the Packers in person once in the season. Dustin Waukesha, 844-770-3776. Dustin, what's your thoughts on this?
Thanks for taking my call. I'm totally up for the flex because of a couple reasons. One, I love the NFL, so I get to watch all the other games on Sunday. Two, the Packers get an extra day of rest before the playoffs, because we don't know if we're going to have to play on a Saturday or a Sunday yet in the wild card round. So anything that can help our team, help them be healthy, give them an extra day of rest, we got to think team first on that way. So,
okay. Thanks for the call. I don't know, and again, I don't know how they figure out the Saturday-Sunday.
Jim, we need caveats. For anyone who's calling in, I'd also like to know if you have tickets to the game.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're like me just watching, I think most of us are going to say Saturday's totally fine. Go ahead and play it early. But I'm curious to the people that have plans to go to the game. Are you cool with the flex?
And the extra day thing is funny to me. We're talking about the most 12 hours, and also you're traveling probably the same. But also the game, I don't know how they figured out. The Packers very well kind of just playing like, hey, if you play on Saturday, that means you're just going to play on the Saturday for the playoff.
Right.
Like they're just going to you're not going to get that day regardless. So Ron in Rome chimes in. I would love for the Packers to be flexed this Saturday. My grandson is going with me. He lives in Milwaukee. I live in central Wisconsin. If it's a Sunday night game, he'll have to miss school the next day. In general, I'm against flexing games, really hard on ticket holders, Ron in Rome. And look, I get what you're saying there, Ron, of
but he's going, so that's good.
Right.
He said flex it.
But it's very specific to him of, I don't have an opinion on it. I'm not going to the game regardless. I don't need to go. I'm not a sadist. I don't need to go watch my team just get worked around a bunch of Packer fans.
Maybe. It might be our backups.
Then I get no joy out of the win. Like, I'm not going to take excitement out of beating the backups if that happens. So,
oh, my gosh. It's about beating the green and gold, Jim, not who's wearing a green and gold.
No, it doesn't. It does.
That's why it meant something to me when we beat the Niners this year.
It means – well, good for you. It means nothing to me if the Bears beat the Packers backups. In particular, honestly, if Jordan Love doesn't play and they play Malik Willis, I really don't – I won't do this. Like, I won't be excited about it. Like, if they play that game and the Bears beat the Packers without Jordan Love, it doesn't count. And let's be honest, maybe you wouldn't. No Packer fan would allow that as a real victory. We'll talk about this on the other side. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly Takeover of Wildy and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.